Good morning. Thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse Show. Maria and Ton with you, taking your calls and questions. The annual tomato sale is underway at J&J Garden Center, and that means Andy Stevenson, who's the general manager, is also with us this morning. And let's take a call from Kim in Salt Lake, and Kim is talking about tomatoes. Good morning, Kim. How can we help you?
How you guys doing?
Doing very well, thanks. How about you?
Oh, good. So quick question, how safe is it to put tomatoes in this early?
Andrew, do you want to take this one?
Yeah, so what I kind of do is look at our night temperatures. So a lot of people that plant them early right now, regardless what the night temperatures are doing, is that you put those wall of waters around them. I've ever seen everything from buckets around them. I've seen all sorts of people get creative on what they do to put around them. But honestly, if your temperatures are above, I'd say if they're bouncing around 45, even down to 40, you're okay. It's when it dips below that, and it depends on just kind of the area in which you live, because how that the frost can settle into the valleys and some of that type of things, even though where the temperature could be different in other places. You just want to be really careful. But I've looked at our 10-day forecast, and it actually looks quite nice for that night temperature to be okay to get them planted. But just be aware that if you do, be prepared to cover them. Some people buy them this early. They love the price. So they'll get them now, and they'll kind of put them in the garage, or they'll move them out on site on sunny days and get them hardened off. But I will tell you that we've been running these tomatoes very cold already. The buildings that they're in, we've actually turned the heat completely off. So they're getting down into the really low 40s, and to harden them off, so that way when the customer buys them, takes them home, they're ready to go for them.
Great. Can I ask one more quick question?
Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
So I bought a lace leaf maple years ago, and I put it on the north side of our property. It was shaded until the very height of the summer sun, and then the leaves would scorch. No matter what I tried to do, I could never get the leaves to not scorch. Is there anything that I can do different with that other than maybe covering it with a black screen or something, or what would you suggest?
Well, more shade is about the only thing you can try. Those lace leaf maples are a little more sensitive than the standard ones like Bloodgood. And so what I've always told people that, yes, you can plant them, but they need to go in those protected spots. Short of just making sure that it's watered correctly, and I'm not saying overwatering it, and I'm not sure what you would do to provide more shade, but those would be about the only things I could really recommend. And if it does decline and you really want a Japanese maple there, you might switch over to one of the broader leaf varieties like Bloodgood or just straight green Japanese maple. I know they get a little bit bigger. And there are some dwarf regular leaf kinds also that may do a little better. But whenever you plant Japanese maples here, there's just that little bit of question on, just because they're native to a climate very similar to Portland and Seattle in Japan, you know, there's always that just a little bit of a question. And so all the protection you can get to them, the better.
Okay, thank you.
All right, Kim, thanks for your call this morning. Our next texter is asking, and maybe Andy, you could take this one up, will lupins grow well here in the Roy area, and are they perennials, and do they like full sun?
Yeah, they do quite well. Lupins do really well in this area. Roy would be just fine as well. They do like full sun. If they got some part shade at a time, that's okay too. But no, lupins do really, really good in our area.
All right, let's take a call from Dave in Clinton. Good morning, Dave. What is your question?
Yes, I have two questions. One is on what is the best variety of blackberry to plant?
Well, it depends on what you're going for, but when in doubt, Triple Crown is just a really tried and true variety for our climate. It is a little bit more cold hardy, and the berries taste good, and they're huge. Whenever I used to judge a lot of county fairs, and the Triple Crown blackberries won best of show a disproportionate amount of time because the berries are so gorgeous. Now, there are others. You know, a lot of times you will see berries named after Native American tribes that do fine. And Andy, do you know if you have Triple Crown this year?
We do. That's the one that we carry here. I'm going to send out a text right now and find out if we have any in stock. Small fruits are selling like crazy, but we've had a really good supplier up in Cache Valley that keeps supplying us with bare root stock, and we get them planted up as fast as we can. But Triple Crown is the most popular for us.
Yeah, and it's just a great variety for the Wasatch Front, and people even grow it up into Logan. It takes more damage up there because of the cold, but it's just a good all-around blackberry variety for the Utah climate.
All right, Andy, Steven, go ahead. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
What about Apaches?
Apache generally do fine. You want to plant them on the Wasatch Front, not up in the mountain valleys. But anytime you find those berries named after the Native American tribes, they're generally hardy down to about 0 to maybe -5. And so most often they will be fine on the Wasatch Front. But if we dip much below -5, they may take some damage.
How deep do you plant asparagus, and is it too late to plant?
Well, it's not too late to plant. Andy, do you have any of the crowns in?
Yeah, I believe we do, and I just got a little bit of education on this, too. As far as that asparagus, they say plant it kind of exactly where it is in the container right now, and then as it gets bigger, I was told that if you'll keep mounding that soil up the stalks over time, because it is a root stock, that it will keep sending off new shoots year after year, and you'll get a bigger area that will start producing if you'll heal it up almost like potatoes.
All right, Dave, thanks for your call this morning. We have Andy Stevenson with us from J&J Garden Center. He's the general manager. The annual tomato sale is underway, and I know one of our texters is asking, Andy, I know you've gone to extra extremes to make sure that everything is safe for your customers, and this person's saying, hey, can we still keep disinfecting carts and things after the pandemic ends? And I just thought that was such an interesting question given what we're facing.
You know, I think we've all learned a lot of things through some of these new tricks of the trade that we're starting to do here as far as staying safe and all that kind of stuff. And absolutely, I just heard a report the other day about shopping carts in grocery stores and kind of the things that are on those year round. And so absolutely, I think that we probably all should take a lesson from a lot of these things that are going on and be a little bit more safe and disinfect and be a little bit more sanitary in the things that we're doing.
Right, you are sanitizing all your areas, and you're also moving your tomato plants around inside and outside to make sure that you can get that social distancing in during the sale.
Yes, absolutely. We've got most of you that have been here before, and I mentioned this earlier, usually they're all in one building. This year we're moving thousands outside. They're doing it right now as we speak. They're moving them out into the front parking lot so we can have two different areas and kind of spread our customers out, and we've been doing this last weekend, and we started it again yesterday when the weather finally got warm enough to put things outside, and it's working. People love it. We're getting a lot of great comments that they don't have to feel so congested inside a building.
All right, and you mentioned that this is a good time to get started. It's early. You have to kind of watch and maybe protect the plants, but boy, the best time to get the best deal.
Absolutely, and this sale will continue for another full week from this Saturday. It'll go all the way till next Saturday for sure.
All right, and the annual tomato sale is underway at J&J Garden Center, 1815 West Gentile in Layton. More on the greenhouse, more of your questions coming up next. The number that you can call, 801-575-8255, or you can text us your questions at 57500.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.
Thanks for taking us along on your Saturday morning. Maria and Ton with you, taking your questions, 801-575-8255. The annual tomato sale is underway at J&J Garden Center. That means we have Andy Stevenson here also answering your questions. Let's take our next caller this morning. Melissa is in Lightning. Good morning, Melissa. How can we help you?
Yes, I am wondering if it is too late to put chelated iron on my autumn glaze maple.
Go ahead and get it done. You want to get the $20 a pound iron. You're paying filet mignon or lobster prices for it. But, yeah, you go ahead and do that. Now, it used to be recommended that you dig little holes all over under the tree and dump a little bit in. But our urban forester, Mike Coons, Dr. Mike Coons up on campus, has been recommending that people just mix it up in a 5-gallon bucket or several of them, depending on the size of the tree, and drenching the soil with that water, and then maybe taking your garden hose out or a one off of your home, and for 5 or 10 minutes just water it in so you make sure it soaks into the ground really well.
Okay. All right, and when would it be too late to do it? Like if I get it done next week, is that okay, or do I need to do it like today?
Well, 1:30 this afternoon. The longer you wait, the less effective the iron treatment is, but you can actually have it be fairly effective as long as temperatures are below 80 or 85 degrees, because plants actively grow. Most of them do at those temperatures. They love to grow about between 70 to 85 is the sweet spot. Once it consistently gets hotter than that, the trees and things that you would apply that to, it's not that they go dormant, but they slow down, and so it's a lot less effective. So if you can get it down within the next week, I definitely recommend doing that. But you can still get positive benefit up until probably early to mid-June.
Perfect. Okay, thank you.
Thanks for your call this morning. You guys, our next texter asking, they want more information about trumpet vine. I'm not sure if you'd like to take this one, Andy. What can you tell us about trumpet vines?
You know what? I'm going to defer that one over.
All righty. Go ahead, Don.
Well, trumpet vines are you see them growing on telephone poles quite often. Mm-hmm. They bloom from July to early October. They have the trumpet shaped, usually orange or red or sometimes yellow flowers. And they are very hardy and very aggressive. But if the power company catches you planting them on their telephone poles, oftentimes they'll rip them down.
Ooh.
So you need to put them on a fence or something you own. And because, I mean, you wouldn't want the power company coming in and planting ivy against your house. I'm being sarcastic there, but you need to be a little careful with that. But they're fine. If you prune them back in the spring because they can get out of control, they may not bloom for a year or two, but they will come back very quickly. So it's just one of those tried and true vines that we grow to cover fences and things.
All right, let's take a call from Alan in Salt Lake. Good morning, Alan.
Yes. I have a nectarine tree, and I've pruned it. It's good shape, but one of the bottom limbs did not bloom or leaf out this year, and I wonder how's the best way to take care. Will that ruin the rest of the tree if I leave it on, or should I take it off?
If it's dead, cut it off. You never want to leave dead branches in your fruit trees. It just is a place that can potentially harbor insect pests, and where it's kind of alive and going into the tree at that junction, it may help harbor diseases and things, so it's always good to cut those out.
Okay, it'll look funny by now, but that's okay.
Well, I mean, having a dead branch in the tree may look a little funny, too. And so the other thing, I mean, you want to do a little bit further investigation. Look for any cankers or any places that might have been leaking sap all over the place. I would check the trunk around the ground. Where it meets the soil, and look for any gumming at the base of the tree, because if you've got gumming down there, it could be that branch died out because of peach tree borers.
Okay. I appreciate your help. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan, for your call. Ton, our next texter is asking, they say they have some rose bushes that have gone wild over the last few years, and is there any hope of reclaiming them?
It depends on the kinds of roses. If they're hybrid tea that we would plant for, you know, cut arrangements and things, or some of the other floribundas or grandifloras, you can cut those back pretty hard and they'll come back. Now, if they're bushes that only bloom once a year, so they generally will bloom in late May into mid-June, if they only bloom once a year and you go cut them back now, you'll lose all your flowers, but they will most likely recover. And so you need to know what you have a little bit. Now, if you have other shrub roses that are more modern, that are repeat bloomers, you can lightly trim those back, or, you know, moderately trim them back. And because they bloom off new growth, they will bloom for most of the summer still once they recover.
All right, next texter does have a tomato question. They want to know, what is the earliest they can plant their tomatoes outside in Santaquin?
My stomping grounds. Santaquin, generally around Mother's Day, if you're not providing any additional protection. Andy talked about the walls of water and other types of things like hot caps. You know, I would be fine if someone wanted to put them out now, but they would need to be protected with floating row cover or walls of water for a couple of weeks. And you need to keep in mind that Santaquin at night is generally 5 to maybe sometimes 10 degrees colder than Orem and Provo.
All right.
And so even if it's safe there, you know, you need to be a little more cautious down that area.
And the annual tomato plant sale is underway at J&J Garden Center. And Andy, talk about your sale this year. Talk about your varieties that you have to offer people.
So as far as varieties go, we've got all your favorites. We're probably somewhere, total tomatoes-wise, we're probably looking at somewhere to 40 to 50 different varieties on tomatoes. Probably. And whether it's the heirlooms, it's your old, the other classics, the celebrities, the early girls, we've got all your large size beefsteak tomatoes. And then on the other end of the spectrum, we've got all the cherry tomatoes. One of the most favorites that everybody loves, and I know Larry Sagers used to love it as well, was the sun sugar. It's like eating little yellow pieces of candy, so to speak. And then, you know, we've got the traditional sweet 100s, and there's grape tomatoes, there's the tomatillo tomatoes. We've just got the full range from A to Z on all these tomatoes.
I know you were. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
All the large size, no, you're fine. All the large size pots. What we typically do with that is we put all the most popular varieties in those containers, and they're all half off right now for $2.25.
I know that you have gone to extremes to make sure that everything is clean and make sure that your customers and your employees are safe and healthy. Talk about some of the extra measures that you have in place right now during this tomato sale.
So, number one, we thin the crowd out by putting tomatoes right out front in the parking lot. They're along the front of the nursery. I think there's out there this morning probably somewhere around 10 trailers with probably 99% of all the varieties are on them. Just to help people that way, if you don't want to go in the main building where it is a little more condensed down in the greenhouses. But there again, our greenhouses are nice and wide open. We've actually gone to extra measures this year, and we've actually widened some more sidewalks so people have some more room to distance themselves. That was kind of by luck that we did that one before all this hit. We did that all the way back in January. So there is more room in the buildings to move around in. We're sanitizing all the shopping carts as they come in and coming and going. After every transaction, they're wiping down all the credit card machines, the countertops with cleaner. So that way every transaction is fresh and clean. They're also, you know, we're enforcing that 6-foot distancing rule. We've got signage up all over the other place. And so, you know, we can do all this, and our customers, for the most part, have been really good about distancing themselves and doing their part. So I want to just thank our customers, number one, for coming and seeing us, but also for doing your part when you come here.
The annual tomato sale underway at J&J Garden Center. Taking more of your calls when we come back following the news, 801-575-8255. You can text us 57500.